Welcome to Pacific Hope with Pastor Gary Walton of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. In this message from 1 Samuel chapters 18 through 22, Pastor Gary reminds us that when God removes what we lean on, He's teaching us to trust Him. David lost his job, his friends, his home, and even his dignity, but he found that God alone is enough. When the bottom drops out, God is still there. Here is Pastor Gary Walton.
I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. I was thinking about David's life right at verse 7, at chapter 18 and verse 7. And I mean, if we could just push the pause button right here. David has the life. He's already been anointed king. But yet he doesn't have the pressure of the responsibilities. Everything seems to be falling in place. He's had this great victory over Goliath. The nation is prospering in front of him. He has this developing friendship with Jonathan, which we talked over a period of a couple of weeks. He's given a great position. He is the leader of the whole army of the nation of Israel. And over the last events of his life, David had now led that army out into battle. And because of his leadership, the army was victorious time and again. Think back, you know, just a few events before Goliath. Remember, the nation of Israel was cowering before the Philistines. But now as we see David's leadership, I mean, they're just victorious over and over again. And the people are singing his praises. That's verse 7. The women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. I mean, David's got everything going for him. I don't know if you've thought about that, if you've kind of put the process together, the timeline, but after Goliath, maybe you thought it was just a little bit of time and then David was king. I mean, he had a few things to go through and then David was king, but the Bible doesn't describe it that way. The truth is that the next few years of David's life, God had some very important life lessons to teach him by emptying every little ounce of security from him. We're going to watch it happen. Chapter 19, verse 8 says this, and there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines. And slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. But the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand, played the harp. Remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago. But Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. This is where it starts. Up until this point, everything's flowing along swimmingly for David. Everything's good. Everything's ideal. He's on his way. He's anointed the king. He's in training. He's in the king's palace. He's best friends with the king's son. There's a number of other things that are happening. And this was the point that it begins to unravel, beginning with security point number one. David lost his job. Some of you have had this experience. Just like that, everything was flowing along, and then your job was gone. The next crutch that God removes is security point number two, where David lost his closest relationships, his wife and his best friend. We can't read the whole story, but in chapter 19, David's wife, Michal, first protects him, and then she sells him out. You can read about it in verse 17 of chapter 19. She deliberately walks away from him, and never again, as a young man, never again will David and Michal, his deep love, who she loved him, they will never again live together in harmony. David lost his best friend, Jonathan. I mean, it was awesome, the friendship that they had, but eventually that friendship was taken away. You read all about it in the 40-some verses of chapter 20. And some of you know these kinds of experiences where the loss of someone that's close to you. And some of you, during this time of loss like that, learned in a very special way what it means to lean upon the Lord and to get your security there. David understood this. Security point number three, David lost his home. We find that in verse 18 of chapter 19. He lost his home. There's some here that have experienced that. Security point number four, David lost his mentor, his counselor, his primary guide in life. Chapter 19, verses 18 and following describe really David's understanding that he was putting his mentor Samuel at risk, and so the separation that took place there. Security point number five, David lost his personal life dreams. I want to read some verses from chapter 21. In fact, it's really set up for us in chapter 20 in verse 3, right? So David, he's lost his position, his job, his wife, his best friend, his home, and his mentor. And here, David begins making some bad choices. I want you to read this. Track along as we kind of talk through this. But verse 3 says, "And David sware moreover and said, Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eye. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Mark this down, because the words spoken by David here are very important. There is only a step between me and death. You say, well, why are those words so important? Let me ask you this. What had God promised David? God had promised David that he would be the next king. And these words are important because it was at this moment, this is the first time in the story of David, this is the first time we see him going from chapter 18, David behaved himself wisely, over and over in some very difficult circumstances. Only here we start to get a little bit of a hint that something's going on in David's thinking. Something's going on in David's theology. The way he's viewing God, the way that he's viewing life. And what's going on is that he knew God's promise, but the circumstances that had come around him are now causing him to wonder. This is the first hint of something that's really significant for us that begins to creep into David's life, and we're going to see it over the next couple chapters, this first hint of this word that we call fear. And listen, faith and fear are never running on parallel tracks. Our faith shrinks every time our fear in life grows. And every time our faith in God grows, then the inevitable result is that fear in your life starts to fade away. Chapter 21, verse 10. "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath." These are going to be very important words for us in a minute. "And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and he was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath." There's a lot of interesting things in these couple of verses, but I want you to mark this down, Christian. Fear is always the enemy of faith. It is the great battleground of the Christian experience. Anytime you doubt God's promises to you, anytime you allow fear to come into the promises that you know God has made to you, and you allow fear to be the dominant force in your life, it is inevitable that faith in God and faith in His Word and faith in His promises will begin to crumble. Just look at what fear does in David's experience. I'm actually going to back us up to verse 1 of chapter 21. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, "Why art thou alone and no man with thee?" And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, "The king hath commanded me a business and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee and what I've commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place." Let me stop just for a minute, because what David just said here is not true. He's running from Saul. Ahimelech's worried, and he says, "David, Saul's servant, is here at my door, but I'm not quite sure why he's alone. I'm going to try to find out what happens." And David gives him a partial truth, maybe a lie completely, but he definitely does not tell him the whole story. Verse 3, "Now therefore, what is under thine hand?" David's saying this. "Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present." And the priest answered David and said, "There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women." And David answered the priest and said unto him, "Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy." And listen to this. "And the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel." David's justifying here, right? He's trying to convince the priest that this hallowed bread, holy for God, which should not have been eaten, he's saying, in a sense, it's just common. I mean, it was common before it was hallowed. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, "And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." And the priest said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the battle in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here." And David said, "There is none like that. Give it to me." And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Listen to this. David went into God's house looking for comfort and direction, and instead, God exposed him. Rather than coming clean with God at this place where the people were on his team, and everybody was there was wanting him to come forward in a clean way, instead of that, David chose to cover. He chose to lie. He chose to protect himself. And you say, "Man, it makes a lot of sense though, Pastor Gary. I mean, he got guys chasing him. He doesn't know who to trust." And I'm telling you, is at this point that David should have trusted his God. You say, "Well, what about it? He got away with it, didn't he? I mean, he needed food. He got away with food and he got away with weapons." Oh no, he didn't. In fact, David learned one of the most bitter lessons of any man's experience. Chapter 22, verse 8. We pick up, Saul is talking to his servants because he can't find David and he thinks everybody's conspiring against him. And look what happens in these following verses, beginning in verse 8. He says, "All of you," Saul saying, "all of you have conspired against me, and there's none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse." Nobody told me about Jonathan and David. And there's none of you that is sorry for me or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. Then answered Doeg, the Edomite, remember we just read his name, which was set over the servants of Saul, and he said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him victuals and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came, all of them, to the king. And Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here am I, my lord. Saul said unto him, Why have you conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? And Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David? This is genuine. David came to me, but he is a faithful servant of yours. There's nobody more loyal to you than to David, as far as I know. Who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. Was that the truth? It sure was. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. Rightly so, they were innocent. And the king said to Doeg, Turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests and slew on that day 85 persons, 85 people that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped, and he fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul. And listen to this, and I want you to read into it the emotions that David must have felt as he says, as he responds, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Hey, listen, sometimes innocent people are affected by our sin, by our lies, by our deception. And remember that nobody ever sins in a box. And David, for the rest of his life, will carry the weight of the death of an innocent priest of God and 85 of his family, because instead of trusting God, he acted in fear. Instead of finding in the house of God, the place where God had divinely appointed him to search for answers and to find peace, instead of opening himself and being transparent with those who wanted to help him, David lied, and instead of exposing where he's at, he covered up. Security point number 6. David lost his personal dignity. chapter 21 and verse 10. David, we read this earlier, David arose and he fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Again, it's so important. Does anybody remember Gath? Real quick, turn back to chapter 17 and verse 4 to kind of jog your memory. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath. Listen, man, I am in serious trouble when Achish is my only refuge. I'm in serious danger and I'm in grave peril when the enemies of God seem to be the only place of sanctuary, and he walks in with Goliath's sword. Keep reading in verse 11, chapter 21. And the servants of Achish said unto him, "Is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was again, what? Sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. And then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him." David's all alone. Pretty hard fall from the king's palace just a short couple chapters ago. Everybody singing his praises. The ruler of the army next to Saul, the most important part of the kingdom. Through all of this process, some of them David's choices that he made and failed at, and some of them got just God's hand of testing in his life. Now we find him in a dark cave, away from everything, away from everybody. And in this cave, David writes a song, a psalm. We find it in the book of the Psalms, number 142. I want you to turn there. I want you to read it. "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand. Behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." That's how David felt. I don't know of one soul in this whole world that cares about me. There's nothing left. Nothing. And in this place, God's at work. At work in a way that only a person who has been in a cave and in this place can ever really understand. David says it this way. He says, verse 5, "I cried unto thee, O Lord, and I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I." David is beaten all the way down until there's nowhere else to look but up. But listen to me, my friends, my brothers and sisters, David does look up. And with all of the emotion that I can give you and tell you this morning, David looked up and God was there, right? God was there. And here's the place where we find the heart after God. So I want to ask you this morning, what do you do when the rug is pulled out from under you? What do you do when all of the things that have formed your security for your life, when they're taken away, either by your own decisions and the result of your own actions or by something else? But what do you do? Here's what God wants us to do. Here's what He's teaching you in three lessons. I'm just going to list them for you. Here they are. Number one, losing our security forces us to take one day at a time. We're wired to want to know what's around the corner, but a life of faith doesn't work that way. Matthew 6:34 says, "Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Listen, in these moments when the rug's been pulled out from you, security is found and it forces us to just take one day at a time, and it's okay because that's a life of faith. So do it. Just take one day at a time. Number two, losing our security teaches us to trust God and nothing else and nobody else. Number three, losing our security helps us to realize that there's only one source of lasting security. God just wants to ask you, when all of the crutches have been removed, what are you going to lean on?
Thanks for listening to Pacific Hope with Pastor Gary Walton. Pacific Hope is a production of Harvest Baptist Church and Harvest Family Radio. If you'd like to learn more about Harvest Baptist Church, visit hbcguam.org. To learn more about Harvest Family Radio or Pacific Hope, visit khmg.org. Harvest Ministries is located on Guam and exists to help people develop a heart for God. It is our hope that this message has played a part in doing just that. Again, thanks for listening to this episode of Pacific Hope.